And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands to give the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to know about someone. It's a whole different thing to know a person. Really deeply know them. For example, you could ask me, "PJ, tell me about your mom." And I'd say, "Well, she was a tall lady and thin, pretty, was a model in her early days, later a secretary, first for Mr. Ruan downtown, later on at St. Teresa. She ended up working the family business with my dad, pumping gas and pouring coffee. She got sick. Died too young." But that would tell you a lot more about me than it would about my mom. Those are just kind of disjointed facts. If you knew my mom, and there are a few of you here who did, well, then you'd know that she could hold her cards in one hand and her smoke in another and still tell what you were holding in yours at the same time. You knew what face told you you're supposed to laugh at this even if you don't think it's funny. And what face told you you're not supposed to laugh at this even if you think it's funny? It's what happens when we know our families, our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, our teachers in school and coaches, and maybe even, for a few of you at least, the priest. It's what happens with what the tradition calls love knowledge. The knowledge that can only come by being with someone enough to come to love them. To love them is to know them. To know them is to love them. And we grow in our knowledge of and love for the other person. The whole reason the church exists, the reason for the Catholic Church, the reason Christ established a community of persons rather than an institution or just a text, is to bring other people to know and love the person of the Lord Jesus. That's the whole kit. Know Jesus or don't. I'm going to be saying Jesus enough. I better just take the hat off. Know Jesus enough that you give him your all. Okay, go home. The reason we have a school, the reason we have a daycare, the reason we have the clinic, the apartment buildings, the reason we put on any program, the reason we do anything at all is to bring people to know the Lord Jesus. And that's not just true of the church institutionally. That's meant to be true of each one of us personally. We're celebrating First Holy Communion today, Peyton Van Gorp. Now, Peyton's homeschooled, and the reason his family chose to homeschool him, among other things, is because they really believe that they're the ones best equipped to give him Jesus. The reason we run a school is because we really believe that the consistency and the commitment and the daily time piece of being in school together helps us, puts our kids in proximity to know the person of the Lord Jesus. Whatever we do with our daily life, whatever we do with our work life, whatever we do with our relationships, the stuff we watch on TV, the books that we read, the hobbies that we cultivate, all of that, all of it is to be directed to the person of the Lord Jesus. And if we've got stuff that's not, and especially if we've got stuff that's getting in the way or holding us back, cut it off. Let it go. It might be good, but it's not good for you right now. It might be okay, but it's not okay for you in this moment. It might be a thing for somebody else, but if it's keeping you from God, it can't be a thing for you right here, right now. This kind of love knowledge is really unique. See, in ancient times, pagan peoples didn't, by and large, believe that they had a personal relationship with the god they worshipped. Nobody thought Zeus or Apollo was their personal Lord and Savior. Even the Vestal Virgins or the Sibyls, the people that lived at the temples, they didn't commune with the God in the same way we believe we're communing with our God here. Now the Jews, they knew they had a special relationship with the Lord, but they thought they had it as a people. They were afraid of having it as individuals, because when Moses came down the mountain, they saw his face and they said, I don't want none of that. In fact, Moses, cover yourself up because we don't want to look at it. Holiness does this to us. It can both attract and repel us. When we come too close to the light, we become very aware of our own blemishes, and then we're less likely to draw near. But of course, what God's constantly doing is saying, no, come closer. I'll burn away the blemishes, right? Those of us that are old enough to remember the real nasty acne creams they used to give us. Remember how they used to burn the zits off? Yeah. It's like that. God wants to burn the zits off your soul. That's what he's trying to do, is draw you in. And yeah, it hurts a little bit in the way that getting better from anything hurts a little bit. I got a right foot I can tell you all about getting better with. But what it's meant to do is make us better than we were before. That's what relationship with the Lord Jesus does, is it makes us better than we were before. And for those of us that are fortunate, like little Peyton, like many of us that have been raised up in the faith and haven't had a long time away, well, more is the better, right? Then it's not that like we were real terrible once upon a time and then finally got our act together. It's that we're constantly growing in that consistent relationship with the Lord Jesus. Here's the trouble, is that head knowledge can get in the way of heart knowledge at times, right? I hear this all the time from people who meet their significant others on dating sites. You know a lot about the person before you ever actually meet the person. And that's like literally backwards, right? For all of human history, the way that we've come into contact with each other is by meeting each other. Hi, I'm PJ. What's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing? But they're not just giving you information. The way they tell you the story, the way they look at you, the way they hold their body, well, it's like my mom with the smoke and the cards. It tells you about the person. It reveals the whole person. And as you come to know about the person, you simultaneously come to love the person. It's easy to trick ourselves into thinking that we know someone when all we do is know about them. And the gospel shows us what that looks like. Jesus comes to the synagogue at Capernaum, and this is a place he knows well. This is a community that knows him well. He comes in, and the people there should know him. It would be like if one of the Boswell kids showed up in 10 years. He was like, I remember her. What's she doing? She shouldn't be doing that. See, we know about her, but we don't really know her. That's what's going on in the synagogue. They know him. They know his folks are. They watched him grow up. They don't have a clue. It takes the devil to reveal his identity. I know who you are, he says. The Holy One of God. And yet even the devil, while he knows who Jesus is, he doesn't have the relationship. Which is why Jesus can look at him and say, "Be quiet! Get out!" And he does. You see, the greatest tragedy of our lives would be to know all kinds of things about Jesus and not know him in our heart, deep down in our gut, at all. And it is possible. I knew professors in seminary and later grad school that I knew all kinds of things about Jesus. I'm not sure they believed a lick of it. And it's possible to go the whole way through Catholic school, memorize your prayers, put in all the service hours, whatever the things that we put on lists are, and not get it at all. It's a tragedy. It's an institutional tragedy when people like me aren't working to fix things like that, but more importantly, it's a personal tragedy. It's like I tell the parents all the time, right? The worst thing you can do to your kid is send them to a Catholic school and then not bring them to Mass. It's a kind of spiritual child abuse, right? Because what the kid is going to get is, you got to come to Mass. You got to come to Mass. You miss Mass and you don't have a good reason, it's a mortal sin. But Dad, why don't we ever go to Mass? I don't know. Father's right about math, but he's wrong on religion. Yeah, put that on a fourth grader. See what happens. It's crazy. And it's crazy because we know, every one of us knows, even if we're just trying to ride the system and get our kid through his school, every one of us knows what it's like to love another person. And that you can't love another person with your brain. It requires all of you. And that requires presence, time, consistency. How did I learn to know my mom? Well, because we'd sit together having breakfast early in the morning. There was usually a smoke then too. Because of the long hours making meals together, riding in cars together. Because my socks never matched and she'd have to send me back to my room. They still don't, which is why I wear the funny clothes. Because of the hours arguing over unimportant things, or later arguing over really important things, but, and here's the kicker, being committed enough to the relationship that no matter how much we disagreed, we were in it together. That's what faith is. That's what the faith is to know the person of the Lord Jesus, to love him with all your heart, and to stick with him even when it gets tough, maybe especially then. Because you know from your own experience, he never gives up on you. We've got a chance today to do something different. Peyton becomes an icon for us today of what's supposed to happen for us at every single Mass. We draw closer to the Lord Jesus than Moses ever could have. We come into closer contact with God than any of the prophets did their whole lives long. And just as Moses was transformed, was changed when he came off the mountain, we will leave changed today, whether we want to or not. Peyton might not have to cover his face on the way out, but we'll be able to see it. The question is what we will do with the change that Christ works in us today. Whether we'll make it worth it, whether we'll make it work for somebody else, or whether we'll waste it. And that, my friends, is altogether up to you.